Good evening and welcome to Vespers. My name is Scott Kirshner, Village Pastor. Hope that you have a red hymnal, which we'll need for our service tonight, which will be led by Chris Kramer, who is our Bible study leader this week. And we will begin with hymn number 816, and the congregation will sing verses 1 and 3.
Let us continue to pray. God of creation and recreation, awaken our senses to your spirit of restoration within the world around us. God who remembers, make us remember your love for the whole world. God who is more faithful to us than we are to ourselves, guide us and teach us in the ways of forgiveness and freedom. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
and a reading from the letter to the Ephesians. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with their neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Word of God, word of life.
Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from your brothers and sisters in the Dalles, Oregon, where I serve as pastor. It's good to be with you tonight. Where on earth did that Ephesians text come from at Holden Village, huh? If you were to look in the back of your hymnal, you'd find a daily lectionary. That's the one for today, huh? Did you hear God speak to you? I notice at Holden Village, I've been here for a couple days now, we like to talk. Do you participate in that? Do you like to talk? As you've talked to people, have you noticed that now and then you get a little warm inside about things? If you haven't, you haven't been to the sessions yet. You may have had a conversation in which your passion really arose and you got heated about something, maybe, I hope. Did you notice that our lesson today talked about go ahead and be angry? It did say that. Oh, okay, that's all right. You can be angry. And then it talked about how to respond. Have you ever eaten something yucky? Think about it for a second. And I'm not thinking about where you were dared to eat something yucky and you knew what it was going into your mouth. I'm talking about when it was already in there. And then you discovered it. Like, oh. Think about it for a second. What was that thing? It probably happened in the last 3 weeks. You bit into it and it was not right. What was it? Think about it. Tell the person next to you. What was that thing? Go. Okay, now tell them what you did about it. What did you do about it? Go. Okay, so what'd you do? Did you spit it out? Who spit it out? Did you spit it at somebody? Why not? Not good for the relationship, right? To spit the yucky thing on somebody? So in the Dalles, which is an awful lot like Chelan, Washington, which y'all came through on your way here, the raspberries are ripe, at least in my backyard. And I don't know if you know this, but that's what they eat in heaven. Fresh raspberries right off the vine. The only way to improve it, of course, is homemade ice cream and dark chocolate syrup, which is also what's served in heaven, perhaps. So it was Thursday, and I was about to mow the lawn, and the raspberries were talking to me. Chris, look at me. And there they were. Not a whole lot because I just planted them last year, but there were raspberries there, and I know that I'm going on
to Holden Village for a week, then I'll be on vacation for 2 weeks, and when I get back, I don't know if there's going to be raspberries. So carpe diem, live for the day, right? Eat the raspberries. So I grabbed all the raspberries I could eat, and I put them all in. Oh, and it was just so magnificent. The raspberry just invaded my whole sense of awareness. It was so amazing until something happened. And there was something in my mouth that wasn't right. I don't know if it was mold or bug or bush, but it was so wrong. I was standing there in front of the raspberries, which is the cornucopia of heaven, and everything the opposite of heaven was happening in my mouth. So I did what everybody would do. I spit that raspberry right out on my cat. Because in the Dalles it's sunny, and our cat has created a nest under the raspberry bushes. Poor Patches. He was sleeping. And he looked at me like, "You so owe me. You have to pet me now. With this all over me." What do you do when you've got yuck in your mouth? Do you spit it out on who you see next? Or do you deal with it in a way that's maybe a little more appropriate? I'm going to revisit this lesson we just heard. From Ephesians 4:29, the writer says, "Let no rotten talk." That's the word in Greek. It's rotten. "Let no rotten talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear." Put your hand by your mouth like this, and imagine you've got some grace in there. Now give it away. So, give grace to those who hear. Do it again. Do it to somebody else. Give grace. Yeah. Let your words give grace to those who hear. Are you always in charge of who hears your words? Wouldn't that be nice? No, you don't know who's hearing your words, right? "Let no rotten talk come out of your mouth." So, do you ever have rotten talk showing up in your mouth? Yeah. Of course, I'm not like you. You don't have that problem, but I do. I get this rotten talk that like suddenly appears. I'll be experiencing something and rotten talk will just kind of come up in my mouth and I want to spit it on somebody or spit it on the cat. No, don't spit the rotten talk out. One of the things I love about the Bible is it's so honest about our lives. It's like God knows us, and God does. All that rotten talk, it says in Ephesians, don't let it out. All that rotten talk. It's not like you become a Christian and stop having rotten talk come up. That's not what Ephesians is saying. It's saying it's still going to come. It's still there because you're still going to have issues that you care about and issues that surprise you like that raspberry. Things are going to happen and you got to deal with it differently. Let your words give grace to those who hear. Let your words, he says, build up, not break down. There's a famous American proverb that I think comes out of the 1980s. And it goes like this: any jackass can kick down a barn, but it takes a carpenter to build one. Have you heard that one? It's been attributed to Billy Carter, but I'm not sure. Any jackass can kick down a barn. Is that true? Do you know people that can kick down barns? But it takes a carpenter to build one. Any carpenters in the place? That's what we do. We're the Christian people. We build things. That's what we do here at Holden Village. One of the things I love is this timber. Somebody built this thing. They didn't order it out of the Augsburg catalog for liturgical stuff. This was built by people. Carpenters built this place. Carpenters sustain and build the place. You can't keep the place together with rotten talk. So what do we do with the rotten talk? You're going to have temptations to have rotten talk. Has anybody done garbology yet? Is there some yuck involved in garbology? Who put this food waste with the recycling? I have to deal with it. Have you had that occasion for rotten talk? Were you moving firewood today and maybe got your finger pinched? Was that an occasion for some rotten talk? Were you in a ecology ethics class and you found yourself getting pretty wound up about those people that are wrecking our world? And how come America and the world doesn't care about the mess that we're making about it? And you're just ready to like shoot people. Have you felt that? Maybe you have. Am I being autobiographical? I hope not. Have you felt rotten talk maybe about those people who are splitting our churches? You know them. They're the ones that are doing it. Have you felt that? Do you get your ire up? Do you have rotten things to... What do you do with the rotten talk? Grace. Let your words be grace to those who hear. What is grace without rottenness? Think about that for a second. If there's no rottenness, is there any grace? That's like dessert if you didn't finish your dinner when I was growing up. Sorry, no dessert. No, grace depends on an existence of rottenness. If there isn't rottenness, then what value is grace? If everything's beautiful, well, then it's, I guess, everything's grace. But grace depends on something that's rotten and broken already. That rotten raspberry, that rotten environment, that rotten consumerist culture we live in is the opportunity to give grace. Now, you're going to be angry. You're going to be moved. You're going to be heated. The Holy Spirit's going to fire you up. Are you going to spit? Or are you going to give grace? As the writer continues, he says, we're going to reshape that rottenness into grace. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. Did you hear those words? Tender-hearted. That's what that same word gets used on Jesus every time. Not every time, but a lot of the times when Jesus runs into ignorant or really broken or really blind or really disgusting leprous people, the ones no one would touch, it says he's moved with pity. It's splagnitzuma. This is your splagna. That's where you ever get socked in the belly and you just hurt everywhere? That's where Jesus hurts when he experiences this. That's what tender-hearted is here. Become tender-hearted towards those consumerist people that are ruining our planet. Become tender-hearted towards whatever it is that's firing you up. Let your words be heard as grace. And then the writer gets serious with us. Gracing them, and the word is charis, gracing them, forgiving them as God forgave you in Christ. So, did God forgive you at all in Christ? Rhetorical question. You don't have to answer. Of course. Yes. That's what God does. God forgave us as we were forgiven by God in Christ. So we are to be forgiving others, which means you can't just leave it all on Pastor Scott. He's going to tell you every Sunday night, your sins are forgiven. That's not just his job, though. That's our job in the midst of the rotten raspberry. In the midst of the thing that's winding us up, right there's the opportunity to find a way to speak forgiveness in grace. I want to practice it with you tonight. In your hymnal, on page 321 in the front, is a page you may never have seen before, or maybe you're familiar with it. Page 321, that's the little numbers in the front of the hymnal. On the far right side, this is part of our compline liturgy. Compline is a gift from the Benedictine monks, and it worked like this. They'd be doing their business all day long. They come together at night right before bedtime. This is the nighty-night prayer service. And they'd face each other. They'd face each other, and they knew that they needed to be forgiven. And so they would ask for forgiveness of their brothers. And their brothers also knew that they needed to speak forgiveness and grace. And so one side would confess to the other, and the other side would speak God's word of forgiveness. That's our gift as Christians to the world. And then they go back and forth. I want to practice that with you tonight. Let your words be grace to all those who hear. So what we're going to do is, this is the piano side of the room, and this is the baptismal font side of the room, and you guys in the middle get to self-identify. Okay? And so the way this works is, you're going to be the not bold print, and you're going to be the bold print. And you'll notice the not bold print begins and the bold print answers. And then the bold print confesses and the not bold print answers. So everybody gets to confess and everybody gets to speak grace. We can do this sitting probably so you can see, so the kids can see. So let's do it. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Piano side. Almighty and merciful God, grant you healing, pardon, and forgiveness of all of your sins. Amen. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned by my own fault, in thought, word, and deed. I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Let your words give grace. Almighty and merciful God, grant you healing, pardon, and forgiveness of all of your sins. Love like that. Amen. Amen. Please stand. We're going to sing hymn number 631. speak grace as you go. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.